The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Watch for delays on I-235 southbound, heading on to K-96 east with a backup to 37th Street. Give yourself a few extra minutes. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Sunny, breezy, and warm today. A high of 77, south winds 15 to 25, and gusty. Continued breezy tonight with a few clouds, overnight low 53. It's a carbon copy forecast on Tuesday. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm, high 78. 75 on Wednesday. Storms arrive on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
The Jim Rome Show. Rory McIlroy said it best after becoming just the fourth player to ever go back-to-back at the Masters. Quote, I don't make it easy. And despite last year's win, his demons had returned. But instead of choking, he crushed Amen Corner and ripped another green jacket.
Jim Rome, afternoons at 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The John Harbaugh era in New York is off to a really great start. They traded Dexter Lawrence to the Bengals for the 10th overall pick. This is less than a week after Lawrence said he didn't want to be in New York anymore. The Giants now have two picks in the top 10. This is exactly how you build a roster. This kind of maneuvering should be taught in classes across the country. Now the Giants just have to nail the picks. A little easier said than done. I'm Dan Day.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up on a Monday morning. Long weekend of partying. Was for me, had family in town. You saw some of them on Sports Sunday. We went hard. We crammed a lot into 3 days. Got a lot done, got a lot accomplished. It was good. I told you I'd give you a 420 story. Did I say happy 420 to all those that participate? I guess you can. I was in Boston. My oldest daughter was 18 months old. Yeah, that's right. So whatever year that would be, 2016 probably. You've been to Boston, TJ? Boston's a great city. So whatever that massive park is kind of in the middle of downtown Boston, we had been walking through there and there was live music and my 18-month-old daughter loved it. She would want to go like listen to and dance to the music, and we were all there and I was like, I'll go for a walk in the stroller. We'll go out and see everybody in a little bit. So we go down there. I go into the park and I'm walking through. And I at this point, this was when a lot of major cities were like getting on board with weed being okay recreationally. And so I walk into the park and I kind of catch a little whiff. And I'm like, did Boston, like, is it legal here to just smoke outside whenever you want? I was like, oh, it must be. And so I was like, let me get away from that. I walk off a little further and I smell it again. I was like, man, a lot of people down here smoking. And then I'm looking around. I'm like, why is everybody smoking weed? What is happening right now? And then I hear just like this eruption of people. And I look over and I'm not exaggerating. I look over to where this huge crowd has assembled and you can see a massive like puff of smoke rise into the air. And I'm looking around, I'm like, what is happening? And then it dawns on me, it's April 20th. And then it dawns on me further, it is 4:20 in the afternoon on April 20th in this public park. And I look around and everybody's getting high. And so I'm like sprinting with my daughter, trying to get her out of there. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get all this next, you know. And this little hippie at the thing, he's like, it's a bad day to have a baby at the park, man. And I'm like, yeah, I could kill you right now. That was a fun 420 story. It's just down there a nice stroll at the park while the entire city's getting high, out there in public. Happy 420, everybody. We get news right before we go to the break, TJ. Leroy Blyden Jr. Like it. Not going to pretend like I watched Leroy Blyden Jr. play a second of basketball last year, but I like the profile of it. Right? Makes sense. We're good with Leroy Blyden Jr. That's it, though. Like, he's still, it's still just, it's still kind of just him. Like, the class isn't big yet for KU. It's him. It is, you know, Utah's guy. Like, we're not looking at the headlines. It's not Terrence Brown of Utah. This is getting to be a moderately interesting class for KU, but nothing headline grabbing yet, including Tyron Stokes, the freshman, who is still undecided. We're waiting. Nope. Nope. I said this last night, and I mean it wholeheartedly. Why can't they just come in and say, you've got till Friday? You got till Friday. Because now Terrence Hill's gone, right? Who's the guy I was hoping they'd get. There are still a couple of headlining names out there. Like, the pivot, if you have time, can be, well, let's just go pay one of these other guys more, right? It's not like you have to do a lot of, and it's not homework, a lot of legwork sometimes to get one of these guys. Like, you just got to go pay him more.
Yep.
So if it's not going to be Stokes, take the money and do something else. But the problem will be, the longer this goes, those players you'd be willing to do that for are all going to be gone. I'd give him a deadline. It's already, he hadn't even committed to KU, and I'm already sick of it.
I don't know. I don't know what you wait on and what you, because, you know, I agree. You could definitely just do that. I think that maybe that reveals more about the, you know, could the I'll say this, the two schools that are fighting over him, you know, have not seen a bunch of movement in the portal so far. So is that a, they haven't seen a bunch of movement in the portal because they're waiting on him, or is it because they are not seeing a bunch of movement in the portal? They're hoping he can.
It has to be that, don't you? Like, it has to be that.
I mean,
because he's going to command a huge amount of money.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't believe there's a world where KU just gets beat on all these top guys.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense, right? It's Bill Self. They've got the resources. It makes far more logical sense to say, like, yeah, we'd love to get you, but we're kind of waiting on, you know, we got to see if we're going to have to spend all this money over here. It's the only thing that makes logical sense that's happening right now for KU in the class.
I don't know. Maybe there's something behind the scenes too of like, they got a yes from Stokes and he's still like, you know, waiting, and I don't know. Maybe that's something that it's like, I don't know. Maybe that's why they haven't done anything, is because they feel so. I mean, he's still, like, to be said, there's something he said about it. He's still 100% crystal ball to KU. Like, those are typically not insane.
What could be holding it up?
I don't know. Maybe he's just indecisive, and now he's just like, well, I feel like it's a yes, but like it's a soft yes. Like, I agree with you. At the end of the day, like, I think that KU is the, you know, at the end of the day, like, power to the players and all the stuff like that. But if it's going to, you know, detriment the rest of your roster building because you're waiting so long, at some point you have to be like, listen, dude, like, are you in or are you out? Like, and our roster probably won't be as good without you in it, but we got to go fill a roster. Like, let's go do it.
Exactly. I just don't know why they're waiting. Why they're you're putting up with this. This, and again, this is unfair, but whatever. Why are you willing? Like, if you're putting up with this now, what are you going to be putting up with in February?
You know, you can speculate all you want about that. But
we can, because there's time on our hands. We can speculate about it. Yep. KU's coming off of a stretch in a season where they just did this with the top guy. Not in different circumstances, obviously. But is KU really wanting to put all their eggs in the basket of a freshman again? That's never worked for them. They've had great freshmen. But when it's building around, like, not just them, when was the last time that worked in college basketball? We talked about that.
I know.
You got to go way back to find that team that was, that pretty much was built around a freshman or collection of freshmen. Look at the trends of college basketball. That's not it. So if I'm KU and I should be able to have the ability to kind of build it however I want to, I'm kind of done with this kind of thing. Darren Peterson, we knew was going to be a Jayhawk forever and is a different caliber player at his best, probably, than Tyron Stokes. I think you're right. I don't know where Stokes would rank right now if you put him up against the current top player. Like, there are 24/7, you've got four of their top five players still without homes. I don't think KU is going to be in the mix for Jop now if they get Mbia back, which it sounds like they probably will. So Momcilovic, Blackwell, Graves. Okay. Stokes, two of those guys are power forwards. Stokes profiles pretty similar to those two guys. Who do you think gives them a better chance to win a national championship next year? It's hard to say, right?
It is.
But it's not a slam dunk. Whereas if you were looking at Darren Peterson, I think it probably would have been. There would have been a pretty big consensus on that, right? Mm-hmm. There would have been a consensus last year that Peterson was just the best player flat period, because he was that kind of, you know, he was built up to this,
I agree.
Guy, like, we haven't seen. Momcilovic shot almost 50% from three last year. For a really good team. I just don't know. Like, what are they waiting for? Like, why are they putting up with it? You either commit or you don't commit. Here's a deadline. Take it or leave it. John Blackwell averaged 20 points and 5 rebounds in the Big Ten last year. Is that a best case scenario for Stokes? Probably. Right? 20 points a game in the Big 12?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like we can already see it. Like, what is your actual gut reaction? And I know I'm asking you to, because Stokes may be a model teammate and a great player, and that's all possible, and I hope he is if he comes to KU. But as of now, when we've seen all of this, what does your gut say about how it'll work out if Tyron Stokes is a Jayhawk next year?
Well, I don't know. I think that there's something to be said about the team you put around him, too.
Sure, they can't put one around him right now because he's not signing.
That's the part that scared him. I think that, like, if you had the guys around him that could do all this stuff, and you don't, you know, I don't know. I think that he could be, you know, a Cam Boozer type of thing, you know, like that. That's probably the better comparison to put this to. He's not going to be as good as Cam Boozer. Cam Boozer was, you know, all around unanimous, like 100% five star. You know, he's a step below that, but. It could work a ton, you know, but there's also the thing that you're talking about that you watch him play. It's what Shreya's talked about, is that, you know, he doesn't have the body language that Darren Peterson had. If you want to make the comparisons to the last star freshman that came to KU, Darren Peterson, by all accounts, looked like an NBA player playing in high school. And Stokes, it's not the case. I don't know. It could work great. Maybe Bill Self is what he needs, and that's what he knows he needs. I don't know.
Maybe he's so talented that it doesn't matter. I just don't.
That's the part two. Why you keep stating this? You're not going to do this for the 30th best player in the country.
No, you're not. But is he a lot better? That's the question I keep having. He might be the best freshman in the country. Is he the best player that Jayhawks could go get?
I keep saying he's top 10.
Okay, he's top 10. He's going to be the most expensive. None of these probably. Other guys are going to cost as much as Stokes. I don't know about that.
Momcilovic probably will be.
Who's going to pay him that?
Somebody.
There are only a handful of teams that get into that stratosphere of what they're willing to pay a player.
Somebody will.
You think Kentucky will if they don't get Stokes?
They'll be desperate. Why not?
I mean, maybe. Maybe. I mean, Momcilovic is just a great three-point shooter. He does this thing better than just about anybody has in a long time. But is he, you know, I don't know. It's silly. This is all so silly that you're bending over this way on April 20th for a freshman that hasn't played when you have access to the portal. It's not the same as it would have been 10 years ago. 10 years ago, yeah, you're bending over backwards for these guys. Like, hey, whatever it takes, we got to have you. You know, that's one thing. We don't have to do that anymore. And in fact, there's not even a track record that it's the best thing to do. Go look at the teams that are continuously having success in the tournament. Freshmen are a part of those teams, but man, it ain't a bunch of young dudes. It's a bunch of older players that know what they're doing. I just, every day this goes on, I'm like, okay, you should do something else. They should do something else. There's still a lot of good players in there. They've signed two, you know, that you kind of like. They already have good freshmen that you're asking big contributions for, most likely.
You know what else is so crazy about this recruitment is that it's lasted so long now, and we're into the portal cycle where everybody's recruiting everybody. Like, I don't think it's out of the world possibility that he just says, you know, maybe it's not KU or Kentucky. Like, let's take some other calls and, like, just reopen it back up again. Like,
in my brain, that possibility is very much real, and that's what's driving me crazy. Make a commitment. Be done with it. Because whichever team ultimately goes with him or gets him has been so hamstrung by how long it's taking, it's going to hurt their chances to win. And the fact that that doesn't bother him, not that it should, I mean, he's young, sure. I'm not saying, but the fact that there's not enough, like, boy, I got to get in there and I got, so we can go get some other players. So we can go win a natty.
That's
not the top motivation like it was with Darren Peterson.
Yeah.
And again, I know Peterson didn't work out, but for different reasons. Like, the fact that, like, there's not already that thought just tells me I don't think that's going to work out for whatever team it's going to be. Getting him now feels like desperation just to have the top guy. Is it the best chance to win? I don't know how it could be. How can it give you the best chance to win? You don't have enough players.
Yeah.
Tyron Stokes, Leroy Blyden, Paul Mbia. Who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting one.
Cole. Rosario. Yeah.
Cole Rosario and the dude Kenny. From Utah.
Oh, yeah. Dawes.
Dawes, Rosario, Mbia, Stokes, Kenny,
Blyden.
It feels like a fifth place Big 12 team to me.
I say, there's worse teams, but that's not KU.
So does it feel like a Sweet 16 team?
Mm-mm.
They have to be able to get more than that. And right now they can't because they don't know what's happening with Stokes. Now they'll get more than that if they sign Stokes, but they got to know how far down the list do we go? Who can we afford? What's our budget? All that. Whereas if you give him a deadline and he doesn't meet it, you could say, all right, fine. We're going to take that $6 million and we're going to get three guys and we're going to build it that way.
You know what scares me is my mind is I have one of the most slippery slope minds of sports people, I feel like, is that what sucks is that what happens if this works out? Like, what happens if he's great? And then next year, the next top player in the country, it's like, well, why would I commit in November the year prior? Like, I can hold out and get an extra $1 million if I stay till April? Like, sure. Why not?
Yeah, but this is a little unprecedented, right?
It is. That's what I'm saying, is that it's unprecedented, but if it works, guess what? It's precedented.
Because I think that
it's true.
A lot of players want to spend their year in college and have a chance to win a national championship.
It's true.
And right now, he's not giving whatever team he signs with a very good chance to do that. Darren Peterson was recruiting Tyron Stokes to Kansas. Like, he was recruiting everybody he could. He wanted people to come because he wanted to win a natty. Same with AJ DeBonsa. Like, these guys want to win a national championship. Fleming's, but not that those guys at the time, we didn't know a lot of these guys were going to be the caliber they are until they got there. But, like, different motivations for different people. It's fine. It just doesn't seem very Kansas to me to do this with a guy who, like, he's been crystal balled to Kansas now for 12 months.
since like January, at least.
No, it goes back to last year. I don't know what else to do. Like, what else is Kansas supposed to do here? You're being held hostage by a freshman. Bye. You've got till Friday. That's what I'm doing if I'm Bill Self. You've got till Friday.
Hey, let's not forget what we talked about in the headlines here. They could roll out a starting five if they land him of Kenny, Peterson, Stokes, Dawes, Blyden.
Right. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have Peterson back for another year or Tyron Stokes?
Don't ask me that question. You know the answer to that question.
I know the answer to that because I agree.
I would.
By the way, that's not happening.
Why not? It will be 4 days, Jacob.
It'll be the
funniest. You said the longer the Bill Self news waits to break, the better you feel about him coming back. Well, is that the same for Darren Peterson?
It'd be one of my favorite stories of
all. It would be incredible. What I'm telling you.
The discourse around Peterson bothered me so much. Like, it would be one of my favorites.
You know how much Peterson's got that little chip in the back with mine? I bet it's what's taken him so long is to be like, man, I want to come back and do this for Bill Self one more time. Like that dude laid his life on the line for
Bill Self. Just prove the doubters wrong. Yeah. Like, I got such a bad rap. I don't like that. Money's good. God, what a good story that would be. All right. We'll come back. We got more Sports Daily.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.